plastic. You know some people I made. And welcome to another edition of Outside the Pizza Box. Pizza Box Mike here, and you are tuned in to 92.7 FM, Devil Radio, and also WTTN 1580 AM. I guess this is the Slammer edition because we've got Robert Slamka on today, and we also have Crudy working the board, so if he wants to jump in, he's more than welcome.
I'd just like to point out, it's Republican Convention Day in the state of Wisconsin, and Donald Trump took that opportunity to crap on local Republicans, including Devin LeMahieu, Robin Voss, and others, you know, for not upholding the big lie.
Seriously, what my first thought was when I saw that was that it was like an onion thing, something fake.
No, I know.
I had to keep reading because I'm like, I live in Wisconsin. These are like the worst Republicans in the country, basically, just lockstepping us for 10 years, ever since Walker and company. And so it's like, really? You're going to beat on these guys because they're not doing enough to make the state crooked, to you know, push the lie, the hoax that you won and everything got stolen from you? I think it's old, man.
Just a few minutes ago, Robin Voss is now being quoted in the Journal Sentinel. Yes, I'm a bootlicker. I promise. No, that's not his quote. But it's effectively his quote. He is blaming it on Trump's aides misinforming the president being Trump in this analogy. But anyways, the one I left out, Chris Kapenga, he's right up there with the others. But Trump also went after him.
Yeah, and I saw like Adam Jarkow. I always called him Jerk now whenever I saw him because he's been around long enough that, yeah, he's one of the loyalists. You know, he's safe. He's one of the safe seats in the state.
Here's Voss's specific statement that I'll get out of your way and let you do a radio show. We're already doing a forensic audit. I think this is one of those cases where the president is just misinformed by his staff or didn't see the media reports.
I'm pretty sure Trump is misinformed, okay? Because, what, he's hired two retired cops to help him.
Voss,
you know,
has,
yes, yep. To help investigate, you know, all these crooked spots, especially like Milwaukee and Dane County. I mean, these guys are right on board with Trump. They supported him. Through all of this, they still do, right? But they can't do it in public because I think people are finally figuring this out. Maybe when he gets arrested next week and charged.
You mean Trump?
Yeah.
Well, just for clarity's sake, the Trump Organization has been told that they are subject to forthcoming criminal indictments. But that's different than indicting Donald Trump, the human being.
Right.
But
if they get the organization, then yeah.
He is
the organization, let's face it.
But the CFO is the one they're trying to roll up on the boss, I think. They're trying to pressure Weisselberg. But here's my thought. Right? This is not an original thought. I heard it from smarter people than I. Former impeachment attorney said, you know what? If you criminally indict the Trump Organization, everybody's calling the loans due now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's probably a triggering thing. In your contractual law, if you're under criminal indictment, even as a corporation, well, the banks presume you're going to have troubles paying them back. They're going to call the loans in now. They're going to force Trump into almost immediate bankruptcy.
And Mar-a-Lago will become the swamp he talked about. There'll be plenty of gators there. I mean, no, literally. They could turn it into a little safe zone for alligators, you know, open it up for them. I can see some of these gators at the hotel and the golf course with their shades on, just waiting for any Republican to come walking through.
I got to think it's going to be an uncomfortable Republican convention up in the Dells here in Wisconsin today, and that gives me a little bit of glee.
It's enough that we didn't have to go up and watch, right? I mean, the ruckus already happened. Trump making the attack on them is really, it's got to just make waves through the convention, yeah.
I'm more excited about Joe Biden coming to southwestern Wisconsin on Tuesday. I'm hoping to go chase Joe and do a live broadcast from wherever Joe's at.
And I was just in southwestern Wisconsin all the way till this morning. So the Bluff Country, he's probably going to La Crosse.
Well, that wouldn't be southwestern. It would certainly be western.
What do you think?
I just hope
one
they
of
have
those little hay fields in?
Well, I just need solid internet so I can go and broadcast from there. I'm hoping it's not terribly rural. Maybe Richland Center, maybe, you know, Platteville. Somewhere Platteville. I'm hopeful it's one of the at least infrastructured outed in terms of internet and Verizon kind of communities.
Or it could be Wanawak.
Well, then I won't be broadcasting. I'll be in the studio on Tuesday.
You can't broadcast there. You can't even make a phone call in those bluffs. Not with my phone anyway.
Buddy, I went to La Crosse, and I've got in-laws in southwestern Wisconsin, and they leave town. They can't make a phone call. They can't get a text. No, they are off the grid effectively.
Which is leading me to believe that's where I need to live when I finally make that move someday. But we'll get back to, you know, today's the Slammer edition. We got Bob Slamka on. You know, I met Bob several years ago. Both, you know,
7 years ago, I'll bet. 7 years.
Standing up against social injustice and corruption at the Capitol. And we both agree that, you know, the crux of the problem for us right now is how law enforcement is not held accountable for anything. We've been watching everything. You know, Chauvin got 22 and a half years, whatever. But what about all those people that were murdered at least in the last 20 years that I've been watching by cops that have never been held accountable? It was before the social media age, I guess. But this is like it's always been going on. And when you have and it's on both sides of the aisle here, let's say Republicans and Democrats don't like messing with the police. Right.
Yeah. We had an opportunity yesterday. I did a call in to Mike's show when he had Maggie Dawn in. And they were talking about that policing issue, and I brought forward the question that we're starting to see something that we've not seen in the past. Generally speaking, if a district attorney in a community decides that they're not going to go after a law enforcement officer for misconduct, it's pretty much a dead in the water issue until pretty much what we saw with the George Floyd shooting, the killing, rather, where they assigned a special prosecutor after the district attorney decided not to go after. And of course, Maggie's comment on that particular issue was you're looking for a special prosecutor who comes from out of town, has no relationship with law enforcement, because they're hand-in-glove organizations. The prosecutor depends on law enforcement for their cases. Police depend on the prosecutor to solidify their case and get a conviction. So
I watched Ozan do that. Remember, you know, just sweating as he's doing that press conference about not pressing charges against Matt Kenney when he shot and killed Tony Robinson, what, 7 times? Because he was high on mushrooms. That doesn't sound like a real good reason to, murder somebody. But so from that point, it was pretty easy to wake up in our area to see, wow, you know, I mean, racism exists big time in Madison in the police department and in the city council and in the legislature. And what do we do? Yeah, what have you been doing the last few years?
I've been knocking on a lot of doors, advocating, doing the stuff that you did, getting to know the landscape, starting to find some of the people who need some attention, becoming available to them, expanding my influence into their sphere. What I've come to understand, and I tell people this all the time, I have to squeak when I walk or I'll get myself into a lot of trouble. So I'm blessed to not have any criminal background whatsoever and have some empathy for humanity to know that not as it seems in all instances, that a true independent investigation is something that they deserve. And I've come to understand that it is very, very, very difficult for anyone to defend themselves in the criminal justice system if they don't have an advocate. And I want to encourage that kind of behavior from everyone else, too, because what I see in most of these cases is they overcharge the living daylights out of these people, knowing that they're going to get something of a conviction out of these cases. But what I see right off the bat is I see people abandoning them when they actually read into their CCAP on a lot of these cases because they didn't have charges that were put up against them dismissed. They just wound up having a relaxed sentencing on those charges. And as a consequence, you look down, you go, what a horrific person who would want to help them. But in all of the cases that I've dealt with, I found that these people are worthy of my representation, and I'm fortunate enough to have good legal counsel from a number of people to discuss these issues and to know where to go next. And that's what I do. I've been doing that.
Well, I've always been a fool because I've been my own lawyer in all my non-criminal non-criminal situations. Maybe, you know, I don't know how many arrests. You know, some of them were actually planned actions against, you know, police violence where, you know, the police knew we were coming. We knew that cameras were going to be there to, you know, bring the subject to light and that you're going to take an arrest. And if you don't want to take an arrest, you're going to have the opportunity to leave. But you should know that when you take the arrest, the organization you're with, whether it was the Poor People's Campaign or Fight for 15, all that legal stuff was taken care of. So I didn't have to be a fool in those situations to have my cases thrown out. But, I mean, I've been witnessing with the police department a problem long before this. And obviously, I think it is a hiring practice or process that they've been going through that really opened my eyes to it, where instead of like feeling like the officer was there to assist or to resolve an issue, it's like impunity, you know? It's time to slam these guys. They're not in line. And that's just being a white guy. That's kind of wild, you know? I mean, but to know and understand what it's like to be non-white and dealing with police, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about that because you've got some background in that as well. We'll be back in just a sec. Thanks.